Welcome to Morning Manna. I'm Pastor Greg. Thanks for joining me. We are going through the Psalms together, and we are currently in Psalm 40. I love Psalm 40, a Psalm of David. And it's a Psalm that really glorifies God for his deliverance in our lives. And God, who is able to free us from situations and circumstances and predicaments in life that we cannot free ourselves from. And things happen. God is glorified when he does that for us, when he opens up the Red Sea and enables us to pass. And so David is recounting God's deliverance in his life. And the interesting thing about deliverance, is we said this last time, is that it results in a fresh expression of praise to God. And, you know, our heart for worship is reignited because we are so just full of gratitude because God brought us through that financial challenge or brought us through that difficult circumstance. And that's a good thing, you know, to have fresh expressions of praise and worship flowing through our lives. So we want to continue on with verse 5 now, as David gives us really what I would call the key to ultimate happiness in life. You'll see what I mean here. Verse 5, blessed is the man who makes the Lord his trust. So, blessed. That's that. It's a Hebrew word that means overall well-being. It's shalom. It's peace and joy, and you know, all of that kind of rolled into one. So the person who trusts in the Lord, that's the blessed person. They're trusting. The weight of the problems of life is not on them, it's on the Lord. They're trusting in the Lord. That person is going to be super well adjusted and very, very, we would say happy. But the negative part of that, the flip side, who does not turn to the proud, to those who go astray after a lie. So they trust in the Lord and they don't turn astray to a lie to try and fix things or get out of things. So they trust in the Lord. So David goes on, you have multiplied, O Lord my God, your wondrous deeds and your thoughts toward us. None can compare with you. You know, there's no one like you, Lord. And then he says, I will proclaim and tell of them, yet they are more than can be told. I'm gonna tell people about what you've done in my life. I'm gonna magnify you to the people around me and the people that you've placed in my sphere of influence. I'm going to talk about you, Lord, to others and how great you are. And there's no one like you. And that really is the natural flow of the Christian life, is we experience the goodness of God and we just want to tell others about how good he is. And that's how the gospel spreads, honestly. It's more than, you know, the programmatic things or the strategies and all of that. And all of those are good and useful. But I believe the gospel spreads more than any other way through people experiencing God's deliverance, God's salvation, God's goodness. And they're so filled with gratitude that they just have to tell people about it. And so, let's move on. Now, I mentioned last week that this was a messianic psalm, and these next few verses are actually quoted in the book of Hebrews in reference to Jesus. So we know that That these next few verses, the four verses, five through eight, are in reference to Jesus Christ, six through eight, sorry. And so we don't have to wonder about that. We don't, you know, as we make application through these verses, we don't, okay, am I going too far with this Jesus application? No, because it's quoted in the New Testament applying directly to Jesus. So, notice verse 6, in sacrifice and offering you have not delighted, but you've given me an open ear. So I want you to notice here that this is such an interesting thing. In sacrifice and offering you have not delighted. So the Lord gave a sacrificial system to the children of Israel in the Old Testament. It was by God's decree that certain animals would be sacrificed for certain situations, certain sins, and so on. And so here it says that in sacrifice and offering you have not delighted. So God doesn't get, you know, some sort of joy out of animals being sacrificed. So why then? Why would God have commanded that? Well, there's a insight here. But you have given me an open ear. Now, most commentators that I've read on this believe that this is referring to the slave, the indentured servant in the Old Testament, who when was free to go after 6 years service to a particular family, they could choose to stay with the family because they love the family. They love their master. And so if it was a beautiful relationship and a loving relationship and essentially that slave became family, then the master and the slave would go down to the city gate and they would go through a ceremony and they would take the ear of the slave, and they would set it against a piece of wood, and they would drive an awl, a piece of metal, through his or her ear, and that would signify that this person is a slave with this particular family, not because they have to be, but because they want to be. They have chosen, out of love, to stay with the family. And so it reflected very well, obviously, upon the master and the family. And you would know, man, that's a good guy. That's a great family. Because their slave now has become a part of their family, has chosen to stay with them. That's such a beautiful thing. So what David is getting at and pointing to in Jesus is that Jesus' obedience and ours, ultimately, is out of our choice, is that we choose. God doesn't make us serve him. He invites us to serve him. And so we, as you know, servants, doulos in the New Testament, are servants by choice. And so we have our ears pierced metaphorically because we want to be in the family of God. We love our brother Jesus, our Savior, and we do what we do because we love him. And as we do that, here's what happens. The Lord delights in that, in our obedience out of love. This is what the Lord is after. He's not after you grumbling along and, you know, and doing things because, oh, I just have to, or you think you're earning your way with God. If you just do this, and this, he's going to, you know, be forced to bless you or whatever. God's not interested in that. That's religion. That's religiosity. God's interested in a love relationship with us, where we do what we do because we love him and we know he loves us. And man, when you love someone, when you full-on love someone, you'll do anything for them. And so God's delight is not in sacrifice and offering. His delight is in his children doing their works of obedience out of love for him. And it's like a father, an earthly father. I get so delighted when my kids do things that are just not solicited, not demanded, not expected, but because they love me. It's a great blessing. So he expounds upon it, burnt offering and sin offering you have not required. Then I said, behold, I have come. In the scroll of the book it is written of me, I delight to do your will, O my God. Your law is within my heart. So in the volume of the book, the scroll of the book, it's written of me. The Bible is all about Jesus. It, you know, we say that, I say that a lot. It is literally true that Jesus is on every page of the book. Oh, not the name Jesus, but who he is in his character, his nature is prophesied right in the first book of the Bible. His return is, you know, at the end of the last book of the Bible, and he is on every page in between. And if you get that, oh my goodness, your understanding of the Bible is going to begin to open up to you. When you're in the Old Testament and the minor prophets or the major prophets or whatever, and you're reading all this stuff, and if you don't realize that it's ultimately about Jesus, then you're going to have a hard time understanding, what does this mean? What is the writer getting at here? What is this book really about? And it's about Jesus. In the volume of the book, it's written of me, it says there in verse 7. And then, I delight to do your will, O my God. Your law is written within my heart. So that's a statement of Jesus, applied to Jesus in Hebrews. And that's a statement that every true, born-again, Spirit-filled Christian can make. I delight to do your will. Listen, we obey God out of love for God, and God gets pleasure out of it. And guess what? When God gets pleasure, joy comes flooding back into us. And it's this beautiful full circle. You know, we obey, God is delighted, joy floods our hearts. We'll never outgive God, ever, in any way, shape, or form. And so living a life of obedience is the greatest life that you can possibly live. So we'll pick it up next time, and we'll finish off Psalm 40 together next week. God bless you guys.